This is probably one of my favorite sermons to preach, simply because of something that happened in my life that changed me and myself in repose to it. JB, if you would put the slideshow up, because I need to start with that. Today's sermon is entitled "The Church, Its Foundation." And many of us know and understand the church's foundation, and we know where it comes from as far as the scriptures are concerned. And it begins with a statement made by the Apostle Peter in Matthew chapter 16. Because from that, we understand how the church was set up. And we're going to be looking at that in just a little bit, so you can actually begin turning there while I'm talking to you. It's Matthew 16. But before we turn there to see what the Word says, I need to set some things up for you, because if you don't understand the historical reality and the geography of what we're going to look at, the words don't have as much import as they do when we see the reality of what God is doing here in Jesus Christ with His apostles and with us. Okay, and this is one of the reasons that hermeneutics is important. Hemis what? Hermeneutics, okay, which is the art and science of studying the Bible. And Pastor implores the HGRT method, historical, grammatical, rhetorical, and theological method. So we look at it in a historical context. So we've got to go all the way back to when Christ was here and what was going on. And what we find is, turn the thingy on, what we find is this area is where Jesus did most of His teaching and preaching and ministry. Occasionally, He would come down to Jerusalem, all right, which is down here off of the, it's actually down here about that plant there in the back, all right. But Jesus went as far north as Caesarea Philippi. Now, a lot of people think, oh, Caesarea Philippi over here, which is over here by Tyre. No. That's Caesarea. Caesarea Philippi is at the base of Mount Hermon. Right there's Mount Hermon, the highest point in Israel. Why would Jesus go there? What's there that He would want to use? I mean, that's a pretty fair piece for Him to walk. Well, remember, that's also where He met the Canaanite woman, all right? Because this area up here is where the Canaanites live. All right, so it was here, after meeting with her and talking with her, that He took His disciples here. Why was He taking them on such a trip? Why did He need them to be there? It was for this very reason that we're going to find out today. This is what is in that place that I spoke of. Here we find the Grotto of Pan. All right, this is an artist's rendition of what it looks like today. This mountain wall here, and that is a mountain wall, from this edge to this far edge is almost a mile and a quarter, all right? A mile and a quarter. So you can see just how high this area was. What's important about this area is this entire area, the whole way around here, which is now a national park in Israel because of all the antiquity that's there, was called the Grotto of Pan because it represented the panoply of gods that were worshipped in Israel in that day. What do I mean by panoply? Well, let me show you here. This is an artist's rendition of what it may have looked like in Jesus' day. All right? Now, what I want you to see, this is just that back wall. All right? See this back wall up here? This is the corner right here. This is all we're going to be dealing with today because I can't show you the whole thing. This is that hole that you saw in the wall. All right? This building's right up against it. Each one of these high places, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, is what? Any ideas? It's a place where they worshiped a false god. Each and every one of those high places is a place where they would worship a false god. And there were many others throughout this area. All right? This was like the pagan religious Mecca. All right? This was their Las Vegas. And you laugh, but that's the truth. Okay? They would go here to bring homage to these, and money would change hands, and prostitution was heavy, and iniquity was out the door. All right? But at this place, why would Jesus bring his disciples to such a place as here we have the Temple of Zeus, also known as the Gates of Hades? And that's important. Remember that. All right? This is the Temple of Zeus, the Gates of Hades. And this is actually, oh my, what's the woman? Athena, okay. Also known as Diophanes or something like that, okay. Because one's Roman, one's Greek, but it's the same god. They just have different names for them. Anyhow, all of these things are taking place. Now, one of the things I want you to notice is you see this water here? Okay. That water originates back here in that hole. There is a aquifer there, all right? And in the back of that building, in the back of that temple, was a cauldron where the water would come down off of the mountains or down through the bedrock out of the mountains. Remember, this is the foothills of Mount Hermon, the highest place in Israel. And the snow melt and everything else would come down through and the water in all the soil, you know, just like we have here, the aquifer. All right, the water level would come out right in the back of this building, in the back here. Oop, in the back here. Let me see if I can get this. What are we doing? JB, advance me. This thing's not working. I don't know what it did. Oop, not that far. All right, I think I got it back now. You can stop. I got it. All right. This is what it looks like today. All right, now this is what I wanted to show you. Jesus here says the gates of hell will not prevail against it. What happened to the gates of hell? It's torn down, isn't it? All right. But in Jesus' time, it was still there. These temples were there. And in the back of that place where I showed you, and this is something I want you to see, in the back of that place, do you see these little niches? Here's one, here's one, here's one, here's one, here's one, here's one, there's one. Every one of those little niches, there was a statue of a god. Okay? There was a statue of a god in every one of them. Why on earth would Jesus take his disciples there? What's going on that he's got them at this place of total debauchery, of total immorality, a place where pagan gods are being worshipped, and Jesus goes there with his disciples? For what reason? Well, we're soon to find out that after this all came tumbling down, oh, now, come on. After this all came tumbling down, the waters in the back of this thing were stopped up. All right? Now, why is that so important? I want you to understand what was happening in that temple. That was the temple of Zeus. And it was called the Gates of Hades for a reason. Remember I told you there was a cauldron back there where the water would come out of the mountain? It wouldn't come out that it overflowed onto the ground. It was just a hole opened up. And only when it's flooded would that water come out of that hole. All right? And they had a whole big thing built to take the water around the temple so it wouldn't come through the temple. But why was that in the back of that temple and why was it open? Because they sacrificed babies into that cauldron. They would throw babies into that cauldron. And if it was a gift pleasing unto the god, small G-O-D, the baby would not come back up out of the water. Okay? Now remember, when I say a cauldron, we're talking millions of gallons of water a minute coming out of the ground. So that water is in there forcibly turning and turbulent, and they would throw an infant in there, and it would drop down, and because of the water, remember, that water from back there literally comes out of the ground right in here, all right? And I'm talking millions of gallons. So it would push that infant down into the bedrock that was still there. Remember what an aquifer is. It's holes through the limestone, all right? And that infant would get trapped somewhere in those stones between the two places, all right? And they said it was this, we got this, this is historical stuff. They said oftentimes after days or weeks, actually body parts would pop up out here, okay? And this was a normal thing going on in their day. Why is this important? Well, please remember all these things I told you when we get into the lesson that we're going to get into here in just a moment. I'm going to keep that slide up because I want you to remember the gates of hell shall not prevail against Jesus Christ our Lord. Because the amazing thing is when the Romans, right after the Maccabees, okay, which was a war, religious zealots in Israel raised up against the Romans, they went in and destroyed all the high places in Israel. Most of us think that they only went to Jerusalem and destroyed the temple. No, they destroyed every high place, even to the gods of their nation. All right, why? Because they did not want the people of Israel to be able to worship anything or anyone because of their religious uprising. Remember, they thought Caesar was a god, and he was to be worshipped above all other gods. So they destroyed every high place. And what they did to stop the worship here was they took the very buildings that they'd collapsed and they threw them into the cauldron and filled it up. So that even today, only when it rains or the snows are melting in the spring, that's the only time you see any water in there, and then it's just a puddle. What's happening? I have no idea. I ain't touching it. Stop touching it. Let's get to the Word. Beginning in Matthew, in the 16th chapter. Now, this is what I said. This is one of one of my favorite sermons to preach, and I just have the very blessed privilege of doing so, because it's so important to understand historically what is going on and what is here and why Christ has brought His disciples to this place. From verse 13, we read these words, "Thus saith the Lord." When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked the disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" He asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Blessed be the word of our Lord. Amen. Why is this important? What's going on here? Jesus is establishing His church. He's saying that, "Peter, we're going to build upon you," and that's why we have the papal reality in Rome, right? Because it was built upon Peter. That was Rome taking authority over the people religiously because they were just as wicked as the pagans who were worshiping in this area at that time. All right? What's going on here? Christ is talking about Himself. One of the things that you need to understand as we're looking at this is look how big that rock cliff is on the back here. Remember how long I told you it was? All right? Now I'm going to back up if we can do this without losing ourselves. See how big that lady is standing there? How high do you think that cliff is? Pretty big, isn't it? All right? What does Peter's name mean? Peter's name, Petros, all right? It's the masculine form, Petros, means little rock. All right? Look at the word. Look at the word. I'm going to break it down. Look at the word. And I tell you that you are Petros, little rock. And on this Petra, big rock, all right, the feminine. And on this Petra, I will build my church. Here we are standing before this great place with this high rock, and they are carving into it the places for the gods to sit. All right? You catching it? How many is the light bulb starting to go off? Because Jesus isn't carved into the rock. Jesus is the rock. He is the rock of our foundation. He is the rock of ages. He is the rock of life. Okay? He's looking at all of this and he's saying, look what man has built. I'm the one who built the rock because I am the rock of your salvation. I am the living waters. That's why the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. That place was known as the gates of hell because of the death that came out of it. All the babies that were destroyed in it. The Jewish people gave it the name, the gates of Hades. Not the people who worshiped there. The Jews understood that life was precious. Jesus is that life-giving flow. He is bringing up those wells of living water inside of each and every one of us that overflow out into the world, and there is no death in it. There is only life. And when we begin to understand what was Jesus trying to teach his disciples here at this horrible place, he was showing them that though those idols are carved into that rock by the hands of man, you need to remember that even the rock or the wood or the gold that those idols are made out of, I made them, he's saying. I am the creator. I am the one who has stood before all time, and I am the one who will stand unto the end of time. These temples will be torn down. The gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. These temples shall be torn down, but he will last forever. And that's the reality that you and I need to look at right now. When we come to the reality of understanding that here we are in this horrible place, and yet in this horrible place, the ruler of life dares to walk in and stand in the face of everything that man can build, everything that man can conspire in his own mind, and still declare himself as God no matter what. Do we have to bow down to him? You better believe we need to bow down to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because nothing we can do, nothing we can build, nothing we can manifest will ever match to his grace, his wonder, and his perfect work. Amen. Do you understand now why Christ had to take them there? He needed them to be there in front of all these different gods. And remember, we're just looking at one wall. There were high places all around them throughout that entire area. And please remember, these people valued water. Why? Because fresh water was a precious, precious, precious commodity. Okay? They had to hand dig wells. They couldn't drill wells. And they had to rely on rivers and streams. And this was the freshest water in Israel, coming right off of Mount Hermon. And what was the very first thing that they were doing to it? Throwing babies into it, sacrificing them, and all that death would flow downhill. What happens when you put yourself into harm's way? When you put yourself into the way of decay and death? It spreads, doesn't it? Just like a plague through the land. But when we realize that in us, that life-giving flow, He who is the solid rock, the sure foundation, is there with us and for us, and no death can come our way. For death has no hold over us. For no matter what is built upon it, if it is truly of the Lord, then it is stable. And folks, that's what I want you to think about here as we move forward. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, with me to Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 3. Not 13, 3, Pastor. 1 Corinthians 3. Paul begins here in verse 10, speaking something that we've taught on this a couple of times already. But again, these are foundational things, and we need to keep going back and realizing the reality of them. Paul here says, "By the grace of God, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, and costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the days will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work." As you and I begin to look at this word and understand that this is the very foundation, the same foundation that was being talked of to Peter. It didn't have anything to do with who Petros was, the little rock, all right? It has everything to do with who Petra really is, the big rock, because from him all faith comes. Why do you think these false gods were clinging to the rock? Because the rock is a sure foundation. The foundations of the buildings are gone, but that rock is still there, isn't it? And the witness marks are still in that rock. Well, guess what? The witness marks are still in our rock. They're called the stigmata in the Catholic Church, because the spear pierce, the nail piercings in his hands and feet are still there. No other God was worshipped. They are the realities of what God did for us. And His foundation is sure. And we all build upon that foundation. In fact, what do we build upon that foundation with? And this is very key. What do we build upon it with? Our lives. We are the stones that are being placed into that foundation or upon that foundation. For God, through each and every one of our lives, is building the church of Jesus Christ. You are a living stone. Aren't we told that in the Scriptures, that we are living stones being built together to become the church of Jesus Christ? We are building upon the very foundation of our reality as we lay ourselves upon the reality of Christ, just as Peter did when he made that declaration, so too do we when we make that declaration and come into right and standing with our Lord. Today, as you think about what is our foundation and how does it come, I want to remind you of these words spoken long ago before the church was ever even thought of. Remember, Israel thought they were it, right? And God says this from Isaiah 28:16. "Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation." Even Isaiah knew that there was one to come, that in all of this land was that sure foundation. And that sure foundation is Jesus Christ, our Lord. from all time beginning to all time yet to come. He is the only one that will ever last, for He is the rock of our salvation. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we truly do wish to thank You for all the grace and wonder and glory that You have placed in each and every one of our lives. Lord, as we look to You, You who are the rock of our salvation, we simply pray, Lord, that You would continue to use us, to build us, to form this stone into the building block that You need us to be. For Lord, just as the men in the quarry would shape a stone to fit the niche that it was meant to fit into, so too, Lord, we know You are doing with each and every one of us. So Lord, this day we submit ourselves to You, that You would take out of us all the darkness that is and replace in us the goodness, love, and mercy, the light and power of Your choosing, that we may be a reflection of Your Son, that we may be added to that foundation and bring glory to Your name. And Father, may we go out from here and help others to see that they too may be a living stone chosen by the builder to be a part of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.